Raiders fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. How about that? I guarantee you I am going to slip on that name change a couple times. I apologize if that's the case, Jamie. Our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, got married over the weekend. The former Jamie Jors, which I've been saying now for years, it's going to get used. Going to take some time for me to get used to that. But I'll work on it. Congratulations, Jamie, though. Glad to have you back here at Railbird Central. So it is a Wednesday. It is the off season. We are now in the dead zone of the NFL off season. Mini camp is over, OTAs are over, all that stuff. We are now in the time period where we're in waiting mode until training camp. That doesn't mean there isn't stuff to talk about. Big news lately is the trials and travails of one Desmond Bishop. So we'll be tracking what Desmond Bishop is doing. The word is that this is all kind of hard for me to follow because different things have been reported by different outlets, or at least the time frames are a little bit overlapping to an extent. You know, Desmond Bishop said himself he would be traveling to Minnesota to visit with the Vikings on Tuesday. And I think that just meant he was traveling there on Tuesday. And I just see coming across my Twitter feed this morning, the report from Adam Schefter of ESPN says that Desmond Bishop is set to meet with the Minnesota Vikings today. Of course, Desmond Bishop being the recently released inside linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. We've broke that down in depth, what has led to the release of Desmond Bishop. So that apparently is happening today, a visit with the Minnesota Vikings, although Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier would refuse to confirm that that was happening. In an interview that took place at Vikings minicamp or OTAs or whatever happened over there in Minnesota yesterday, saying he wouldn't care to verify any reports of a visit or workout or anything taking place with Desmond Bishop. But you can rest assured that it happened or is happening at the moment. It just does no good for Frazier to really comment on it. He doesn't want to acknowledge that, oh yeah, the Vikings are really interested in Desmond Bishop, because that's only going to potentially drive up the asking price. So the Vikings playing it a little cool on the Desmond Bishop front. But, you could just assume that they're interested. I mean, they have a need at inside linebacker, and they'll be looking for a guy to fill that spot. You know, whether or not they feel Bishop is that guy or not, that's probably what they want to get a feel for, you know, as part of this visit. I mean, they too want to know what his injury situation is. They are probably going to have him undergo a physical, do a workout. I would assume those things are taking place, although without talking to either the Vikings or Desmond Bishop, I really no way of knowing that for sure, what is happening and what isn't. But that's basically what goes on when a guy goes to visit a team as part of a free agent visit. So that's happening today. So Bishop gonna do his workout or visit today or whatever. And then later in the day, he is scheduled to travel to Kansas City. And you know, it's kind of interesting. Always happens to be one of those things where a team will be reluctant to let, their visitee leave town. you know, that happens in the NFL other places. You know, the Vikings may not want to let Desmond Bishop leave, because if he does, there's then a chance that he could sign with the Chiefs or another team. So it'll be interesting to see how this day plays out if the Vikings, you know, they allow him to leave and, you know, if they offer him a contract before the end of the day, or if negotiations will take place, if Bishop says, hey, you better pay me more, otherwise I'm going to Kansas City. There's actually supposed to be the Jacksonville Jaguars have shown interest too, according to reports. I think I saw ProFootballTalk.com. But no visit scheduled at the moment. Probably wants to check out these other offers first. But yeah, scheduled to leave for Kansas City later today. The meeting with Kansas City isn't scheduled to take place until Thursday. So if that gives you a timeline of what's happening with Desmond Bishop here, I know it's kind of hard to keep track of the travels and the visits and what happens and all that kind of stuff. But there's your rough timeline of what's happening with the now free agent inside linebacker. And you know, I liked what our own Zach Cruz of Cheesehead TV tweeted out earlier this morning on the Desmond Bishop front, saying basically laying out, you know, where would Desmond Bishop fit, saying, you know, he would be in the NFC North if he were to go to the Minnesota Vikings. And there's, you know, things to like from that aspect. Desmond Bishop is very familiar with the opponents in the NFC North. The Bears, the Lions, and even now the Packers, teams he is intimately familiar with and would face twice a year. You know, that would play to Bishop's strengths. He knows those offenses he's facing already, at least to some extent. You know, the Chicago Bears undergoing a coaching change, and they'll probably, you know, be a little bit different looking offense there under Mark Trestman, but still, you know, familiar with the personnel, at least things like that. Whereas though, in Kansas City, they run a 3-4 scheme like the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings run a 4-3. So Bishop in that system would be a middle linebacker. He's never done that before with the Green Bay Packers. Did he maybe for a year or two earlier his career under Ed Donatell? You know, I forget what year Bishop was a rookie. Was it 2008? He might have had 1 year's middle linebacker experience, but he certainly didn't play very much at that time period. Anyway, so if he were to sign with the Vikings, he would be playing in a little bit of an unfamiliar system. Not that there's a ton of difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3, playing a middle linebacker as opposed to one of two inside linebackers. But still, it would be a transition, and those are tough to make when you get to the age of a Desmond Bishop. You know, certainly doing anything different, it's a little bit harder to do than say when you're a rookie. So if he were to join the Kansas City Chiefs, he would be in the same kind of defensive system, 3-4 defense. He would be one of two inside linebackers. At Kansas City, he'd be playing next to a Pro Bowler in Derek Johnson. There's kind of a lot to like about that, playing next to a very good player. You know, both teams have the need. Both the Vikings and the Chiefs have the need there for an inside linebacker. So, you know, they might be duking it out for his services. They might be bidding against one another if Desmond Bishop is to go to one of those two places. You know, we'll see. We'll see. It doesn't look like he's going to be back in Green Bay, although I've read, you know, reports where Bishop is not ruling out a return to the Green Bay Packers if he doesn't like what he gets on the free agent market. But, you know, I think somebody out there is going to be interested in signing Bishop to a, you know, semi-lucrative contract, as long as he, you know, checks out medically. He's able to return. I think Desmond Bishop should be able to return. It's just a matter of if he's the same player anymore. And by all means, please go check out the blog post from yesterday by our own Zach Cruz, citing a medical study of players who have ruptured hamstrings in the past and what their likelihood of returning is. And I think it was the majority of players end up returning, but not many return to the same level as before. In fact, I think Zach even pointed out there's a percentage of them who ended up playing only one game upon their return, and that was it. And there's more who ended up injuring the same leg again. So, you know, the odds aren't exactly in Desmond Bishop's favor based upon what has happened to other players who have, you know, had these hamstring injuries in the past. You know, I think that's been the case all along with how the Packers have approached it with Desmond Bishop. You know, I don't think he's going to be the same player ever again. He might play again. He's just not going to be a good player anymore. You know, one of the top players on the defense, maybe even not even starting caliber. Not that I'm ruling it out entirely, but, you know, the odds say, you know, when you suffer that kind of injury, you're just not going to be the same person again. And that's nothing against Desmond Bishop personally. I wish him the best. I wish him well. He was a great guy in Green Bay, a great teammate, a good person, never had gotten in trouble, always was, you know, very nice in his dealings with the media. The things you see, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes what goes behind closed doors, but you know, the public face that Desmond Bishop put on, always great and just seems to be a great guy. So I wish him the best. I just don't think he's going to have it anymore post-injury. So there's your Desmond Bishop update. And that's kind of been dominating the headlines lately here in the off-season, where there's not a whole lot of other Packers news going on, especially since they wrapped up their off-season program last week. The word from Mike McCarthy is they're actually, the rookies are staying in Green Bay this week. The veterans, they've probably left. They're probably taking vacation, going back to their hometowns. Not to say that there might be a few veterans that stayed in Green Bay, but this is their opportunity right now to get a little vacation and get a little rest time in before training camp begins. But the rookies are in Green Bay this week. The rookies are taking part in meetings this week, and also there's a strength and conditioning program for them. So they can't practice this week. That can't happen. But they can, you know, lift weights. They can work out. They can do running, things like that. Things that are just, you know, keeping them in shape, getting prepared for training camp. And so that's happening. And a bunch of orientation-type meetings. They're meeting with Rob Davis, the Packers Director of Player Development, doing orientation things, basically. I'm sure it's a lot of those, you know, how do you deal with off-season issues? How do you deal with off-field issues? Here's where things are in Green Bay. If you ever have an issue with, finances, here's how you deal with it. And this is when your paycheck comes and blah, blah, blah. The things you would do in any job, basically, you know, just parts of the culture, the environment you have to learn about. As the rookies get prepared for the NFL's Rookie Symposium, and I believe that happens this upcoming weekend, like Sunday or something. I'd have to check the exact date, but getting ready for that. But, you know, the one other interesting thing that I'd like to delve into here the rest of Railbird Central today is a post I myself wrote on yesterday, posted it, about Aaron Rodgers giving an endorsement to two undrafted rookie wide receivers. And I thought this was rather notable because and you can go look at the article there, and maybe if Jamie's not busy, she can actually post that as well on our underneath the live blog player. The Aaron Rodgers has twice now given an endorsement to Tyrone Walker and Miles White, a pair of undrafted rookie wide receivers. He did once last week during Packers OTAs when he met with the media, and then again in the exclusive interview that that appeared at ESPNMilwaukee.com. And by all means, go check that out as well. A wide-ranging and in-depth interview, exclusive interview with Aaron Rodgers at ESPNMilwaukee.com, in which he talks about several subjects. But I just thought it was rather notable that for two times in the span of 1 week, Aaron Rodgers came out and really had good things to say about Miles White and Tyrone Walker, saying how good of a job they've done in the offseason program and you know, that they're getting opportunities and they're making the most of them. And it really is interesting to see him talk about those guys just because, you know, nobody really expected that, I think, from these undrafted rookies who, you know, is a name that people don't even know yet. And it's even more remarkable, I think, because the Packers invested two draft choices, albeit two late round draft choices, in the wide receiver position. If you remember back to April, they took in the seventh round in back-to-back, you know, their back-to-back picks, not you know, right next to each other, but the Packers, 2 seventh-round picks. They spent wide receiver Charles Johnson out of Grand Valley State in Michigan, and then their next pick was a wide receiver, Kevin Dorsey, out of Maryland. So they obviously thought highly of these guys. You know, they invested a draft choice into them, which, you know, means higher salaries for these guys. So they thought a lot about these two wide receivers. And the problem with Johnson and Dorsey, they've been injured. They've been missing the Packers offseason program. They've hardly taken part because of injuries that, you know, haven't been reported. The Packers, you know, their policy is they don't talk about injuries in the offseason, so we don't even really know what's wrong or how severe it is. I'm assuming it's not too severe because I do remember Charles Johnson actually did take part in one practice reportedly before dropping out. But, you know, those guys are missing time. And so the Packers, they sign a variety of undrafted rookies as well. And Miles White and Tyrone Walker are not the only ones they sign. But for Aaron Rodgers to kind of go out on a limb and give an unsolicited endorsement to these guys was actually pretty interesting. I'll read some of Aaron Rodgers' quotes here that he told to ESPNMilwaukee.com. Just kind of, he's talking about the strengths of these guys and things like that. And he actually compares Tyrone Walker, the kid from Illinois State, to a former Packers wide receiver, Antonio Chapman. Remember Antonio Chapman? He was actually more known for his kick return duties than anything, but also played a little wide receiver in Green Bay. And anyway, here's Aaron Rodgers' quote on Tyrone Walker. He says, quote, "Tyrone reminds me of Antonio Chapman, who not many people know I actually played with, but Deuce had a very similar size and agility, but he was a good route runner, very good in and out of his breaks, and I see that with Walker. I think he has very good hands, he's a good route runner, and I think he has a chance to be a good player in this league," end quote. So that's Aaron Rodgers on Tyrone Walker. Kind of interesting to get that, you know, that endorsement out of him and say how good of a route runner he is and his good hands and things to really kind of look forward to and like about this young kid who not knowing a whole lot about at this point in his development. And then he had this to say about Miles White, the undrafted rookie out of Louisiana Tech. Aaron Rodgers says, quote, "Miles is very shifty. He has very good releases, and mentally he's getting closer. He has a strong hunger to be good in this league, and he's very self-motivated, and that's very important," end quote. So there you go, Aaron Rodgers talking about these rookies. And, you know, it's important to take this with a grain of salt. We're only talking about off-season workouts. They haven't even hit training camp yet. They haven't put on the pads. You know, they can't hit. So, I mean, you know, and until that point when the pads come on, these guys can actually take a hit, take a shoulder from a safety, a cornerback, you know, going over the middle, until things get really physical in training camp where they're being jammed sometimes at the line of scrimmage. Not to say, you know, they can't be jammed in the line of scrimmage during the off-season program. I think, you know, they allow that much contact, just can't tackle and things like that. But still, it doesn't hurt to be gaining the confidence of the guy who's in charge of distributing the football in Green Bay. You know, if Aaron Rodgers has confidence in these guys, it only makes it more likely that he's going to throw to them if and when the opportunity presents itself. Now, certainly these guys are going to be far down the depth chart. No matter if it's White and Walker or Johnson and Dorsey or whoever. The first three, you know, spots on the Packers wide receiver depth chart are pretty much, you know, set in stone. With Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, James Jones. I mean, those guys are going to be the go-to targets of Aaron Rodgers, and that's to, you know, say nothing of the tight end position and JerMichael Finley, who will be getting his fair share of balls thrown his way as two. But still, the Packers have to fill out the depth chart. There's guys fighting for the fourth and fifth wide receiver jobs, and those are kind of up in the air. And now you would say, of course, Jared Boykin probably has the inside track on that number four wide receiver job, seeing as he was with the team last year. He's more experienced than any of the rookies. He knows the offense better. He's, you know, built a little bit of a rapport with Aaron Rodgers, although there's not a big time history there. But still, that is taking, you know, has taken place. And that, you know, again, gives him the inside track. Not to say a rookie can't unseat him, but if any rookie does, it's kind of notable, I think, that these guys are kind of stepping up and standing out from the crowd a little bit. It's notable that Aaron Rodgers didn't, you know, say this for the other undrafted rookie wide receivers on the team. You know, they signed Alex Gillett, that quarterback-turned wide receiver out of Eastern Michigan. They signed that Terrell Sinkfield just a little over a week ago out of Northern Illinois, the speedster. You know, Aaron Rodgers didn't have anything to say about those guys, albeit, you know, Tyrell Sinkfield's only been with the Packers for a little over a week, so it's not like he knows them a whole lot. But still, it's great that these guys are standing out, and there's something to be liked about them. The number four wide receiver in the Packers offense, the Packers throw the ball a lot. The number four wide receiver is going to catch a lot of footballs. You know, think about last year and, you know, kind of add up the catches that, Donald Driver and, last year, Greg Jennings was part of the team. You know, who finished number four in receptions among wide receivers last year? I'm trying to think myself, who did Randall Cobb end up leading the team in catches among wide receivers? I know he had like 80 some catches, something like that. See, had Randall Cobb And then you had James Jones, who led the league in touchdown receptions. I can't remember the exact number of catches he had. So you had those guys near the top. You had Jordy Nelson, and then you had Greg Jennings, basically your number four wide receiver, at least in terms of production, because he missed so much time last year with that, you know, kind of an abdominal strain there that he had to have surgery for. So if you kind of look at the, you know, add up the number of receptions, the number four guy like Greg Jennings had, even the number five guy like Donald Driver, Jarrett Boykin had last year, that's a lot of catches. You know, there's an opportunity there for the number four wide receiver, even the number five wide receiver on the Packers, to make a rather significant contribution to the team just because of how much the Packers have passed, at least in the past. And, you know, that looks like it could kind of be changing as well, as the Packers kind of look like they're going to put a little more emphasis in the run game this year. You know, taking those rookies in the NFL draft, Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, could see a little bit of a philosophical change in the Packers offense, where maybe they don't pass it quite as much anymore. But still, regardless, I mean, this is a team quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers we're talking about. They're not going to all of a sudden become the best rushing team in the NFL. They're going to want to keep the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands as much as possible. A reliable quarterback who's proven he can get the job done, that they want him with the football. They're still going to pass plenty, even if there is a greater emphasis on the run game in Green Bay. And hopefully they work hand in hand. That's what you want. I mean, you would love to see a balanced offense. You would love to see a run game that would take pressure off the pass game. You would love to see teams not, you know, playing that Tampa 2 shell in which they have those two safeties back and, begging for the Packers to throw into that and have a tough time throwing into that. The Packers saw that so much last season. They saw those two deep safeties, and that's tough to pass against. Not to say it can't be done, it just makes the job that much harder. So hopefully the Packers' run game, you know, brings another guy into the box, and then that's one less guy you got to worry about when the Packers drop back to pass. You know, it's that much easier to complete those passes, find the holes in the zones, things like that. And then, you know, when the Packers do see those deep safeties, then they can run the ball. Then it's easier to gain yards on the ground. You know, when they're not that strong safety up in the box, it's one less person to account for in your blocking, and it's just easier then to reach the second and third levels on the ground. You know, when the running back takes the ball, Eddie Lacy gets the ball, well, if he's not meeting that safety till the third level of the defense, he's already gained 5-plus yards. We'll take that anytime. Anytime the Packers can gain 5 yards of carry, that's fantastic. You know, last year they didn't even gain 4 yards of carry on average. You know, what was it, about 3.8, 3.9 yards they averaged per carry last year? You know, let's get that up to at least over 4 this year. That would be ideal. I mean, ideally more than that, but they're getting over 4. I'm easy to please. We'll take baby steps. We'll take baby steps here. Small signs of progress. I'll take a little over 4 yards of carry this year. They do that, things are heading in the right direction. That and, you know, just rushing the ball maybe more on average too in terms of carries per game. Baby steps here, but you know, no reason to think the Packers offense in general isn't going to be very prolific and very productive. And again, you know, coming full circle here, we'll see how much these rookie wide receivers are a part of it. And, good news that Aaron Rodgers is giving them a little bit of an endorsement. Good to see that these guys are taking advantage of the opportunities for the time being, at least part of the off-season program, and at least according to the Green Bay Packers quarterback. if nobody else. So good to see. It's 9 o'clock here on a Wednesday morning. Thank you so much, everybody, for being part of Railbird Central here. Once again, we'll be back again on Friday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us then, just 2 days' time from now. So we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.